The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
All right, we've got an MLS doubleheader coming your way Friday night, starting with an Eastern Conference matchup. Between Orlando City and Atlanta United. That's at 8 Eastern. Then two of the best in the West will square off, the LA Galaxy and the Portland Timbers. Both matches are on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and the ESPN app. One app, one tap. Once again, Kimberly Martin was hired by our company right before COVID shut everything down. This is your first time ever in a studio. How do you like it so far?
I can get used to this, Greeny. I like it.
Bringing her tea and all sorts of other things. She's having a very good time. Anyway, we welcome you back to another hour of Get Up, coming to you live from the Seaport District in New York City. We are brought to you by Chase. The Big Swagoo is coming up in this hour as we are getting up with Aaron. Back at the office, really be better than ever. Can he put the title in Titletown once more? Meanwhile, Swagoo says the D in Big D could stand for destiny. Is this finally the year for Jerry and the boys? We'll talk about it. Plus, I will state my case. There is a team absolutely no one is talking about that could make the rest of its division feel big blue. That's on the way as we get up in this hour, starting right now with that man, Aaron Rodgers, who yesterday, just without a care in the world, after everything that's happened, sauntered into the Packers facility. You see him there. He couldn't be dressed more casually. He will speak to the media later today. And earlier this morning here on Get Up, we had our Packers reporter, Rob Domofsky.
I was told late last night that we should expect to see him on the field at 10:10 local time. But how much does he do? Does he participated on a limited basis? Is he full go? That remains to be seen. He's not ducking the media, and the team isn't hiding him. I think those are two good signs. He is speaking to the media after practice. The question is, do we get the cryptic, passive aggressive, leave everything open to interpretation Aaron Rodgers, or do we get a guy who really gives us some explanation and offers the fans a little bit of a perspective into what went on and why he ultimately decided to come back?
We have no idea what the answers to those questions are going to be. We look forward to them, but we do know this. The Big Swagoo, Marcus Spears, has joined the party today with Jeff and Sacho and Kmart in our studio. And Marcus, I want to go right to you because I was looking at the notes you sent in last night. You made a bold declaration about Aaron Rodgers. I want you to share it.
First of all, y'all look so good this morning. Number one. All right. Yeah. Let me tell Sam about you something. I need that damn jacket, bro. That jacket is fire. Okay. All right. Let me get to this, G. Aaron Rodgers is the most powerful player in the NFL. And he's the most powerful right now. He's one of the most powerful front office members in the NFL. And in the history of the league, I don't know if a player has wielded as much power as Aaron did this offseason based on the results that he got from Green Bay. Now, obviously, Green Bay, in particular, as far as a trade potentially next year, will get a lot of compensation. But when you talk about concessions and the type of concessions that we're hearing about being made for Aaron Rodgers to come back and just play one season, this is unbelievable. It's great because I'm a player advocate. G, you've known that about me since we started doing Get Up. And to see the things that the Green Bay Packers conceded in order to have Aaron Rodgers back for what we think is just 1 year was absolutely phenomenal and amazing to me. And it also made me think about when we talk about this player empowerment, we've been seeing LeBron James do this in the NBA. We've been seeing that transpire. To me, this is the boldest definition of player empowerment. And you know, I always got to put a caveat on things. You got to be Aaron Rodgers type to do these type of things and to get this type of result that he was looking for. But when I thought about the things that they did and conceded in order to get this man back to play 1 year, as opposed to saying, let's try to find some trade value for a player that clearly stated he did not want to be there, I was just taken aback, and I was amazed at the fact that this worked out like it did.
Well, let me pick up that thought, because you know basketball as well as you know anything. And yesterday, Rob Domofsky said that he had a front office executive somewhere else say, welcome to the NBA. So to your point, do you think that we will start, that this is this power play, we get that every player in the league can't do it. But will other quarterbacks in particular around the sport see what Aaron Rodgers did this year? Do you think this becomes the beginning of a trend?
Yeah, G, absolutely. Especially when they look at situations and feel like it's been mishandled. And look, all of the talk that we've had about the Green Bay Packers is in the vein of them mishandling Aaron Rodgers and his type of talent and what he's done. And then it gets to a point where it either boils over and the player goes to where Aaron Rodgers went. And then you have to decide as a franchise and the organization, can you withstand not having a particular guy? And ultimately, and between Jeff, Kim, and Sam, they are going to understand this. Winning is the most important thing. And when you got a guy that can win and you know you can win with, and you don't have an option outside of that, you're going to make concessions for him. And the Packers just did it bigger than any team, I think, in the history of the NFL.
Jeff, what do you think?
Yeah, no surprise for me, but I will let me expand a little bit on what Swagoo just said. I'll take it even further. I think Aaron Rodgers played this exactly like Tom Brady did in 2019. Like, he understood he wanted out of an organization and he wanted to go do it. And Robert Kraft, the actual owner of the team, was in favor of giving Tom the opportunity to go elsewhere. He said he deserves it, right? He's been such a good player for us. He deserves to go on. I think as you look exactly as what Aaron Rodgers did, he just kind of followed that map and that progression. And listen, when you have that type of power, when you can go in and command, say, listen, I'm done with this organization. I'm either not going to play, and you force their hand, I think it shows the ability of, and to Swagoo's point, only a few players. But here's the kicker. Green Bay, I think, did it early before camp even started because I think they have the hope of restoring this relationship. And the only way to restore it was to extend some type of olive branch. We all asked, what does Aaron want? Kimberly wrote a letter about what does Aaron really want? Well, I think Green Bay gave him what he wanted. And now this is going to be the start of a conversation of, hey, Aaron, what can we do? And let me say this. They win a Super Bowl. I can guarantee you those two sides come back together to do it. They've been in two NFC championship games. If they get a third, you're talking about Buffalo Bills type of dynasty way back in the day where you get there. What they're doing is not unprecedented, but it's pretty freaking close. So I like what Green Bay did.
Kimberly, you brought up an interesting point, though, earlier this morning, that sometimes if you look at some other players in the NFL that we think to be very high profile, who would seem to have a lot of Russell Wilson had his thing this offseason, couldn't get out. Deshaun Watson, we know the circumstances have changed. But before all of these allegations came out, he wanted out, and it didn't look like the Texans were willing to trade him. What are you hearing from people you talk to inside the sport about the concern on the part of front offices that players might start doing exactly what Marcus is saying?
Well, I think we're seeing it. I think they know it's probably coming, more guys. But again, you've got to be top tier. Like, just middle of the pack QB can't just be like, hey, I want out of here. It's the top echelon guys. But look, the whole time when we were talking about this Aaron Rodgers situation, league execs and GMs in particular were telling me he has no leverage. He'll be right back there in Green Bay because they're not going to want to trade him. And he's under contract. So, and the fact that he's such a dynamic competitor, he's not going to want to sit out an entire year. So people around the league are not surprised that he's back in Green Bay. We might be surprised based on how this is going. But that devious smile of his, walking back in that T-shirt and shorts, Aaron, you know what you did. Props to you because you played this well.
It's fascinating. This part of it fascinates me. And, Sacho, you would have an interesting perspective with your history with the Players Association, and I know we've dealt with him directly on things like that. What is your take?
Yeah, I am not surprised at all. So Aaron Rodgers, just with the Players Association example, we were negotiating with ownership, with guys like Jerry Jones and people like Mark Murphy, and this dude literally walked into the office and told them exactly what he wanted. Now, did he get it then? Maybe not, but this dude has no fear of the consequences. He's a special kind of player, like Big Swagoo said, and you have to be a special kind of player to hold out for this long. This really was a newer version of a holdout. He said, I'm not coming back. I do not want to be here unless you give me exactly what I want. You have to be special. Not everyone is going to be able to do this. Many will try. You're seeing guys like Xavier Howard say, hey, I don't like my contract. Can you do something? You're going to see other defensive players, maybe wide receivers, ask for something like this. You got to be special. Quick story. I remember growing up, and some of y'all Big Swagoo, you might get this. Have little kids in the neighborhood call their mom. Hey, mom, hurry up. Pick me up. Where you at? I tried that. It never worked. No, trust me. Trust me, it ain't going to work. So some people have the ability to be like, hey, mom, hurry up, pick me up. Other people, just chill, take your contract, and leave.
Jeff, beat quick final word. Go, Jeff.
Hey, Greeny, the one thing I would say that was separate or different for Aaron Rodgers is his age. Listen, if young quarterbacks try to put, like the Deshaun Watsons, like you said before, it's much tougher because organizations have paid this money and believe. If Dak Prescott all of a sudden next year decided, hey, I don't want to be a Cowboy, I think the teams play much, much firmer than the Packers did. The Packers understood they have a first-round pick behind it. He's 38 years old. All of those things, I think, allowed this to fall out the way it did. I don't expect every young quarterback to be able to get what they want if it's not going well for their organization.
An interesting point. All right, in the meantime, let's cast some votes here on the poll. I've got a Twitter poll up right now at ESPN Greeny on Twitter, and it's a simple question. Now that Rodgers is back, which team is the biggest threat to Tampa, Tom, and the Bucks? And I put the options up there, the Packers, the Cowboys, the Rams, or other, and the votes are flying in here, and I want to see what all the members of our panel think is the right answer to the question today. Jeff Saturday, you're first up. Which team right now is the biggest threat to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the NFC?
Packers, and it ain't even close, Greeny. Not even close. Listen, I have the Bucs at 1A. I got the Packers at 1B. Again, this team has played in two consecutive NFC championship games. I truly believe if Bakhtiari, their left tackle, was there, they have a chance to win last year and all the situation with the coaching and all those things. I like Green Bay. I like the tenacity of which Aaron Rodgers is going to come back with. He's going to want to keep showing everybody he's an MVP player. I like where the Packers sit right now to be the biggest aggressor against the Bucs.
Sacho, you're next.
Oh, I'm going Washington football team. Y'all know I'm in the other category. Oh. They had their fourth streak. And, Jeff, you called me high last time. I'm not high. I'm perfectly sane. They had their fourth string quarterback give Tampa Bay problems in the playoffs. Fourth string. Taylor Heineke, this dude was going in college at Old Dominion trying to finish his degree. He signed in December. He came back. He gave them issues. The defense is dominant. The offense has weapons. You may have Fitzmagic.
Oh, my word.
I'm going Washington football team. Laugh all y'all want. I'm not high.
It's the jacket. Archer just out here
Welcome to Get Up. Jeff and Marcus are laughing at you.
Kim, it's not the damn jacket. It's Greeny.
Yeah.
It's G. Sam Acho like this. He done put him on damn Get Up, and he done infiltrated his brain like he do all of us when we start on the show at first. Coincidentally, the Washington football team is the biggest aggressor toward Tampa because G said a couple months ago that they was going to win the NFC East Division. Sam, don't fall for it, man. Let G stand on his island alone.
The okey-doke.
I'm just working against Swagoo because my purple jacket is now jealous of Sato's purple jacket because Swagoo seems to like it better than mine. Marcus, you are next. Which team is the biggest threat to Tampa in the NFC?
Yeah, G, I got the Rams, man. And I have the Rams because they have no choice but to be the biggest biggest defender against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They mortgaged the future. Obviously, we know what they did in getting Matt Stafford and feeling like that was a significant upgrade over Jared Goff. And I understand the concerns about the defense with Johnson being out and Hill, and they just lost Cam Akers. But Sean McVay went to get Matt Stafford to overcome those type of things. So I look for the L.A. Rams to have success and be the biggest contender against the Tampa Bay Bucs.
All right, so we have three votes for three different teams. Kimberly, where are you going?
I'm going with Jeff Saturday, Packers. You want to know why? Because Devontae Adams and Aaron Rodgers, they're on this last dance type of thing. They've got that last dance energy. One more ride, one more championship chase. If everything goes according to plan, that's what will end up happening. What did Rodgers do when the Packers brought in Jordan Love? He said, okay, watch him sit there because I'm going to win MVP. So right now he's back and he's focused on winning a Super Bowl. I won't bet against him.
23 years later after Michael G. and Scotty. Yeah.
You know how I go crazy about your take with the Washington football team?
Yeah.
Don't sleep on the Minnesota Vikings in that division. I'm just telling everybody. I know Green Bay is the darling and Aaron Rodgers is back. Don't sleep on the Minnesota Vikings.
Well, I'm just telling everybody. Today I'm just putting that out different way. I got to take a quick break. Again, by the way, let's see where the fans are voting right now. 42% agree with Jeff and Kimberly. on my Twitter poll. The other has more votes right now than the Rams.
Washington football team, baby.
Where are the Cowboy fans this morning? Keep the votes coming. We'll keep the poll open through radio at ESPN Greeny on Twitter. Meanwhile, an emotional Jerry Jones was talking Super Bowl again this week and said camp is where he wanted to be. What does Swagoo say? We'll hear next. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
What does Swagoo say?
G, you know what I say? I say Daniel Jones is a gangster. He lying, G. Look at me today, G. I'm already a beast, so we just gonna be beastie. I call you bro.
Yes.
You are my bro. Are you crying, son?
This is not exactly how I meant for this to go.
Take that and smoke it.
We haven't played that in too long. Kimberly Martin is hysterical laughing sitting over here as Swagoo joins us. And we play our favorite game, Swagoo Says, where you'll hear what people said, and then Swagoo will tell you what they actually meant. It starts with Odell Beckham, your LSU guy, talking about the Browns' expectations this season. Here's what he said.
It's just something that feels special about this team, something that feels special with the city. Special. Watching the Bucks win a championship, you know, inspires you even more. It's like Cleveland needs a championship, and I think that's the goal, that's the mentality in that building, and that's, you know, what I want to be a part of.
That's what OBJ says. What does Swagoo say?
Yeah, basically OBJ is being humble in public, G, but the bottom line is, OBJ is saying, man, I heard all that talk about last year and Baker wasn't good when I was on the field and look at the success that they had. Y'all better sit down and get ready for the return of the Mac because I'm going to be one of the dudes that put us over the top and you may see us play in the last game of the season.
I like that a lot. I've heard a lot of how he's been humbled. I want to see him come back the way Rodgers would take those slights or Brady would take those slights. I agree with you.
Yes.
All right, the next one is Lamar Jackson's talking about already looking forward to his newest jersey. Listen.
We win the Super Bowl, I'm going to number one. That was my first number ever. My dad told me number one, get number one because that's the best. Are you the best? And it always stuck with me. I want to retire number eight and number one. I want to do that here at the Ravens. So I want to win a Super Bowl with number eight on, do as much as I can with number eight on, then come back and do the same thing with one on.
All right, so that's what Lamar Jackson says. What does Swagoo say?
First of all, I love it. That's number one, G. That's what Swagoo say first. Mm-hmm. But what Lamar was saying is, I done done every damn thing else y'all said I couldn't do, so I might as well go and retire two jerseys. I'm going to have number one and number eight up there. Both of them going to have Jackson, and then people going to be like, oh, it was another dude playing here by the name of Ray Lewis. But yeah. Lamar Jackson is that dude. He's defied everything everybody said he wasn't going to be able to do in the NFL. So he might as well get number one after he win his first Super Bowl and retire two damn jerseys. I'm with you, Lamar. I just want to be your hype man when you do it.
All right, I'd like to see it happen. Finally, one more, and here's your old guy. This is Jerry Jones, who owns the Dallas Cowboys and got emotional when talking about the goals for the season.
I'd do anything known to man to get in a Super Bowl. That's a fact. I think we've got a way to make it work big for this season. I feel as driven as I was when we first bought the team. I could probably be anywhere in the world I want to be right now. I want to be here with our team.
Well, that one really struck a lot of people, Swagoo. That's what he said. What do you say?
Listen, man, I've seen this from Jerry, and that's the one thing I tell people, as frustrated as you get with Jerry Jones, his ultimate goal is to try to put together a team that's going to win a Super Bowl. But Jerry, if you really gonna do anything, hire me as the head coach and the GM. I'm gonna put Himbo at the analytics. I'm gonna have GBR publicist and PR guy, and we'll win a damn Super Bowl. Stop waiting. Just give me a G5, give me a boat like you got, and bring me in as the head coach and GM. And we got this, bro. I promise you, I will put us in a position to win a Super Bowl. But the key to all of this is having Himbo do the analytics so we can beat teams before the damn game even start, G.
I like it. The headline, Marcus Spears wants Mike McCarthy fired. That will be on all the blogs later. Okay, let's get serious here. Because this is the Cowboys. I've said it before and I'll say it again. They continue to be unbeaten in July. They're great in July. Jeff, how about later? What would constitute a successful season in your mind? When this season comes to an end, what will the Cowboys have to achieve for you to say they had a good year?
Win their division. I mean, listen, all goals start at winning your division. You've got to beat the Washington football team, your favorite for the entire Super Bowl winning, Greeny, you and Sacho, all the people who are lost their minds. But however that looks, they got to win their division and then grow from there. You get some playoff wins, all of a sudden the trajectory of your team is moving up. But it all starts there. Get that division. It's a successful year. Listen, every year I played in the NFL with Tony Dungy, that was the only goal we had as a football team. Once we accomplished that goal, we added from there. But this has got to be the Cowboys' focus, man. Take care of your division, get a home playoff game, and then let the rest of it take care of itself.
Can they do that? Sacha, we know what these guys think. We know you do not believe the Cowboys win the division. They do not accomplish even that goal?
No, they're not going to win the division, but if they make the playoffs, which I do think the Cowboys will, that's a success for the Dallas Cowboys. Yes, Jeff's right. The ultimate goal is always to win the division. But if you shoot for the moon and land in the stars and land in the playoffs, you'll be okay. I think Dallas can make the playoffs. I think Dallas will also, if they can win a playoff game, that's a huge win as well. And then have your defense just get better. You were 27th overall in defense. Just go get to the middle, right? Middle of the pack. Have an average defense and elite offense and build on that. Make the playoffs this year. Build a beast. You can fast forward till next year. Second year defensive coordinator, right? You're getting more cohesive and you can start to control that division. But you don't got to win it now. We know Washington's doing that. Just make the playoffs.
Quickly, Marcus, is that enough? If they just make the playoffs this year, would that be enough?
Yeah, that's enough. And you and Sacho high, all right? But here's the thing, man.
Yes.
I'm with Jeff, and I do understand what Sam is saying, and I understand that playoff. But this division, to me right now, is the most important thing. When you pay Dak like you paid him, and you're trying to put a team together, you want to know that you can run your division. It starts there.
That's right.
I agree with Jeff from that standpoint. Making the playoffs is amazing, and it's absolutely the great thing. But you don't want to be 8-9 or whatever getting into the playoffs.
Right.
You want to win this division to know that you did the right things in order to take first in the NFC East.
7-9 did win the division last year, but I understand the point that you're trying to make. All right, the draft is coming up tomorrow night, the 75th annual NBA draft from Brooklyn. You can see it 8 Eastern on ABC, on ESPN. You can listen on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Our coverage starts at 7:30. That's tomorrow here on ESPN. Coming up, we often hear teams that claim their division is the toughest in all of football. Could this be the first year one team can actually prove it? We're on that next.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Back on Get Up with breaking news from Baltimore, where sources tell our Jameson Hensley and Adam Schefter that Lamar Jackson is not practicing today. It is a COVID-related case the league is still trying to process. Jackson, you may recall, tested positive on Thanksgiving. Well, now he's had another test that NFL officials have flagged. The league is reviewing the situation. The Ravens are awaiting more answers. As soon as we have any further information, of course, we will pass it along immediately. Meanwhile, in New York, the Giants and their quarterback, Daniel Jones, looking at a lot of pressure as he enters year number three. And he acknowledged what is at stake for him and his team during this pivotal season.
I mean, I think, you know, at this level and in this job, we're all expected to perform and to play at a high level every day. And that starts, you know, today. So, you know, I certainly feel that. I think everyone on the team does. And you know, I think that's healthy. I think that's the way it should be. And I know, you know, I know we're excited for the opportunity. So.
All right, so that's what he said. So now it brings us back to my favorite feature, Tell Me I'm Right or Tell Me I'm Wrong, where I will present one of my ideas to Kimberly Martin, and usually she rolls her eyes at me, but just hear me out.
Okay.
Daniel Jones was drafted sixth overall, and a lot of people were surprised by that, but not because they thought he should have been a fifth-round pick. Daniel Jones was a prospect people liked. They have put everything in place around him. The offensive line should be markedly better. Saquon Barkley should be back and healthy. They brought in weapons, a big receiver, Kenny Galladay, a small, quick receiver that they drafted in Kadarius Toney. The defense improved dramatically as the season went on. So, this is my statement to you. The Giants are going to be sneaky good. If Daniel Jones can play, the Giants are a playoff team this year. Kmart, am I right or am I wrong?
You're right that they're a team to watch, but they may not be a team to watch for the reasons you think. Listen, if I was 2 feet taller, 50 pounds lighter, I'd be a model maybe, right? If Daniel Jones learns to protect the football, if the defense is better, there's a lot of ifs. I'm with you on they have done everything they can to make the situation better. But here's the reality. They are a year away from being in a Sam Darnold 2.0 type situation. If Daniel Jones does not take that leap forward and prove that full-bloom love that Dave Gettleman had for him, mm-hmm. it was real and justified, they have a lot of questions that they've got to answer.
I get it. But they've done the opposite of what the Jets did with Sam
right.
Darnold. They've made
and,
all of these moves to give him a chance.
And they're no step closer to knowing for sure. They believe he's the guy, but we need to still see it. He has all the pieces, so no excuses for Daniel Jones this year. This is the year he's got to take that step, because the worst thing for the Giants is to come out of this season wondering, is Danny Dimes really that dude?
No, I understand. They won't come out of it. They will get their answers.
No, you believe.
And they've given him a chance for those answers to be, yes, he is. Where are Marcus and Jeff? I want to get them in here in this conversation as
right
well.
Here.
Here we go. Marcus
right
Spears, you're listening. Go ahead. I'm telling you the Giants are going to make the playoffs. What do you say?
They'll be a team to watch because they're going to be on TV. I'm just playing.
Yeah, there you
yeah,
go.
They got a chance, man. And listen, we all, and to Kim's point, like this hinges on Daniel Jones. This is about Daniel Jones. Other players with the New York Giants are proven. They showed last season down the end of the year that this team was formidable. Joe Judge got his message across in the way that they played from a physical standpoint. They brought in Leonard Williams. Leonard showed to be a great trade pickup from the Jets. He got paid this offseason. You think about this defense, they played at a very high level. It's about Daniel Jones, period. And mm-hmm. it's similar to yep. what we saw with Baker Mayfield, right? You look at what the Giants did. I'm glad you brought that up, G. Look at what the Giants did. They went out and made moves in the offseason. They feel like they have a competent coaching staff and guys in position. Now, can your quarterback take the next step? Will Jason Garrett put Daniel Jones in a great situation in order for him to have success? If he does, then this team will be ripe to potentially win the NFC East and make the playoffs. But the bottom line is value the football, Daniel Jones, play with confidence, and if you do so, you're surrounded by guys that can flat out play this game. The bottom line is you don't have a quarterback, you don't win games. We'll find out if the Giants have a quarterback.
I feel like he's kind of agreeing with me. Jeff Saturday, you?
I think he's agreeing with me, actually.
Jeff? No, listen, I don't agree because of Daniel Jones, right? Like, there hasn't been anything that has told me he's made progress. He was with Jason Garrett last year. He still turns the ball over, right? They're in good situation. They're driving down the red zone, throws some kind of little lollipop pass, loses the ball, you know, inside the pocket. Like, when you're talking about Daniel Jones, It's the turnovers. He has more turnovers than touchdowns in his NFL career. That does not win in the NFL. And Joe Judge has done a great job of toughening the team up. And listen, that Gettleman, you know, people talk about fire Gettleman because of Daniel Jones. Absolutely not. He's put everything around him to be successful. Everybody goes, well, if they do, everything's around. You got to play. When he was up there, I would have liked him to say, listen, I have not performed to the level I should have performed to. That's going to change this year. Mm-hmm. That would have made me feel more confident in Daniel
Jones. Confidence.
We're going to find out. Yes. I don't know that I'm saying anything different than you guys are. I just believe he's going to do it. And as I've said many times, mine is that rare genius that will not be fully appreciated until long after my time. Having said that, the NFC East feels unlikely to be the answer to this question. But for the second time in pro football history, we are in a situation now with seven playoff teams in each conference where a division could get every one of its teams into the playoffs. So I'm posing this for our entire group today. If one of the divisions is going to this year, I'm telling you right now, one division in the NFL is going to send all four of its team to the playoffs. Kimberly, I'm starting with you. Which divisions are going to be?
This is a tough one. I'm going to go NFC West because we don't seem to be talking about the 49ers and the Seahawks enough. Look at that division. The Rams, everybody's penciling them into the Super Bowl. The Cardinals are the one team that you could say, I don't know. We need to see more from the Cardinals. But overall, team to team, got to be the NFC West, right, guys?
They've added A.J. Green there in Arizona as well, and J.J. Watt on the defensive side. Jeff Saturday, which division's going to do it?
I agree with Kimberly. Look, NFC West, when you look at the division as a whole, you have probably the four best quarterbacks in one division. You look at all these guys could potentially lead their team to playoffs and victories in the playoffs. So if you're going to pick one division that you would ride with, you're going to for these guys and these teams and these head coaches, honestly. So as I'm going for this, I'm going NFC West.
Two for two. Sacho, where do you go?
I'm going to hit y'all with some of that rare genius. I'm going AFC North. Check me out. Three teams already did it last year. The Browns, the Steelers, the Ravens already made it to the playoffs last year. All we got to work on is the Bengals. And I'm not a Bengals defender. I'm not going to sit here and say that. But they already had three teams that did it. They got Jamar Chase. They have some offensive line help. Maybe the Bengals can sneak in there, but I'm going AFC North.
I'm looking at the look on Marcus Spears' face. It's making me laugh. Swagoo, which division are you picking?
Bro, the Bengals might not win a damn game in their division.
Oh, wow.
Listen, I'm with Kim and Jeff Saturday, the NFC West, and I could see. And I think my reason is these guys could split each divisional game. They could go 1-1 against each other in their division because we don't know. Like Kyler taking a step forward, San Francisco being happy, being healthy, Matt Stafford being in L.A., and obviously we know Russ is going to give his team a chance to win every game. The NFC West makes the most sense. And remember, we got 17 games this year. These teams outside of their division should do very well against their opponents as well. So that's how I look at it. I look at them just splitting a lot of games in this division as opposed to somebody dominating it like in other divisions potentially.
All right, once again, Sacho, I appreciate your genius, and you and I in our purple coats will be remembered as being right. All right, as we continue here, I want to remind everybody, we got good baseball coming your way tonight. Game two of a three-game set, Yankees and Rays. It's 7 Eastern here on ESPN, and you can watch on the ESPN app, one app, one tap. As we continue next, Texas and Oklahoma have officially taken another step towards the SEC and what would be a complete overhaul in college sports. You need the details, and you'll get them next.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We are back on Get Up, and in what really is the biggest story going on in sports right now, another domino dropped yesterday in conference realignment as Texas and Oklahoma both formally applied for membership in the SEC starting in 2015, which is when their Big 12 media deals expire. And obviously, our Marcus Spears played his career at LSU in the SEC and worked at SEC Network for us forever, so I'm dying to hear his perspective. But it is Heather Dinich who has had this story for us from the very beginning. So with that domino falling yesterday, Heather, what is, you keep telling us all the things that are going to happen, and then they happen that day. What's next? What do we have our eye on as next in this process?
Well, Greeny, these two are almost married to the SEC. We're down to the formality of everyone involved saying, I do. And you know how important that formality is. So on Thursday, sources have said SEC presidents and chancellors will be meeting. A vote is expected, not guaranteed. Remember, they need 11 of the 14 presidents and chancellors to agree to extend an invitation to Oklahoma and Texas. My sources are saying that they have enough support to do that. And then the final piece of the puzzle, again a formality, is Oklahoma and Texas saying, yes, we accept that invitation.
All right, and so you're describing these as formalities, assuming they do go as planned. Let's say they do get the votes from the SEC leadership, and then Texas and Oklahoma do say we're in, which that part of it certainly seems like a lock. What is the timing? We're hearing about 2025. Will it take that long?
I would be surprised, Greeny, if Oklahoma and Texas stay in the Big 12 that long. I mean, relationships are already fractured, and that could be something that they're banking on so that they don't have to pay the $75 to $80 million exit fee to leave early. One source suggested, look, maybe they're hoping that the relationships get so bad, the Big 12 says, get out of here for less money because we're tired of it. So if they leave early, they do have to pay that fee. They have 18 months notice they have to give. According to Big 12 bylaws, I can tell you that one source at an SEC school told me they have a lot of legal work to do before they can just walk over to us by next year. But 2022 is a possibility.
All right, Marcus, you know the dynamics of the Southeastern Conference as well as anybody I know. I haven't heard from you on this. What's your perspective?
Well, the first thing with Heather with the $75 to $80 million, they print money out the ground in Texas and Oklahoma, so they'll be fine paying that fee. Here's the thing, G. I've always called, when I was with the SEC Network, I've always called the SEC the NFL Developmental League. You've heard me say that. And teams know the cachet of playing in the Southeastern Conference. They know how it improves their financials. They know how it improves their recruiting. They know how it improves their profile. That is what this is about. When you look at Texas and OU, those programs carry the Big 12. Let's not kid ourselves. Those have been the brainchilds and the carrier of the Big 12 mantra and the things that they've been able to accomplish with a long, rich history, not only in that conference, but just those schools in particular. So if you want to do it at a higher level, you go to the SEC. That is as simple as it can get. When you look at the SEC in totality, not Alabama, Alabama is dominant. This is a once in a generational run we're seeing a team have. But when you look at that conference and that and those divisions, you play competition week in and week out. You also, your profile raises with every win. The college football playoff potentially expanding as well, or expanding. You look at the opportunity to get in based on strength of schedule. You look at the type of football that's being played in that division, in that conference as well. There's a lot of things that are pluses in order to go to the Southeastern Conference. But the one thing, the one common denominator that I tell people all the time, and this is no disrespect to any other conferences out there in college football, there is nothing, nothing in football. I'm talking about the NFL as well. There is nothing like Saturdays in the SEC. Trust me when I say that. Nothing. I got killed in Dallas in my first interview for saying I expected more coming from LSU to Dallas and seeing the fanfare and being a part of the stadium. There is nothing like it, and teams are drawn to that. And Texas and OU understands their positioning if they join the SEC.
And it's all moving in that direction. Very quickly, Heather, let me ask you on another subject, because I think most people believe now the Big 12 will be teetering on the brink of potential non-existence. I also feel like I hear some people wondering about the long-term future of the Pac-12. Is that a legitimate concern?
That's a great question. And I would assume that first-year Commissioner George Kliavkov has at least reached out to Big Ten Commissioner Kevin Warren to discuss some possibilities of some kind of an alliance, whether it's scheduling or whatever it might be. But I do think that the Pac-12 still has really great schools in it, great programs. But I will tell you this, their pool of candidates is smaller to join because they have such a high bar academically from their presidents and chancellors.
Okay, and with that thought in mind, I know Heather prepared a little look at that conference. They've had trouble sending teams into the playoff. Could this be the year? Here's a look at this year's Pac-12.
The college football playoff has created as much debate for who has been left out as it has for who has gotten in. And the Pac-12 hasn't made the cut since 2016.
I think Oregon won by 40 today. Can you talk about
Oregon won by 40?
What was the 59-20?
I gotta go. We gotta go get ready for that one.
Its reputation has taken a nosedive, and this year isn't looking much better.
If you look at the Pac-12 objectively, there's really only one school. They have not been a serious contender.
According to the All-State Playoff Predictor, the Pac-12 has the worst chance of any Power 5 conference to finish in the top four this fall. Oregon has an 8% chance to reach the playoff, while every other team is below 1%. The league has good teams, but it needs a great one. If USC resembled anything like the Pete Carroll, Reggie Bush, Matt Leinart days, it wouldn't even be a discussion.
Congratulations to Pete Carroll, his staff, and all of his Southern California Trojans.
The Pac-12 isn't the only one that needs USC back on top. The playoff would benefit from it too. A fresh face in and a familiar face out.
So much history and tradition there. We'll see if they are able to use another school's phrase, wake up the echoes. We will see. Heather, outstanding work as always. Thank you. Let me break briefly on that thought because we're going to have some live stuff from Green Bay coming up in just a matter of moments. And then First Take is coming up live at the top of the hour with the very latest on Aaron Rodgers at camp, plus reaction to Simone Biles' decisions and the pressures facing our Olympic athletes. That's First Take, and it's next on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
We've got an MLS doubleheader for you Friday night, starting with an East Conference matchup between Orlando City and Atlanta United. Then two of the best in the West square off, the Galaxy and the Timbers. Both matches are on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and the ESPN app. One app, one tap. Meanwhile, after all the speculation and all the months of waiting and all the will he or won't he, in sauntered Aaron Rodgers to Packers training camp yesterday. And look at him. While we've slowed that down, he was walking in a relaxed fashion that almost looked like that and was dressed that casually. And he is there today and is expected to practice today. And his old teammate Randall Cobb just moments ago tweeted, "I'm coming home." They played together for 8 years in Green Bay. And who knows if one of the concessions that the Packers may have made to Rodgers was giving him some more say in personnel decisions, like bringing him back here. And the general manager, Brian Gutekunst, addressed the media just moments ago. We're trying to get some of that sound turned around for you. But quickly, Marcus, as you see that and you see Randall Cobb coming back, what does it make you think about with Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay?
Gee, you said who knows? We know, damn it. He the GM. Yeah. Like, they are going to do what Aaron Rodgers says needs to be done. And this Randall Cobb acquisition is another example of what we were talking about earlier. Aaron Rodgers did not come back to the Green Bay Packers because he had a change of heart. He came back to the Green Bay Packers because he's the president, owner, and general manager of the Green Bay Packers. When you run an organization, you got to show up to work. And that's what Aaron Rodgers is doing. He's got another weapon in Randall Cobb as well. Cobb is not the guy he used to be, but you put him outside with Devontae and you Tonyan, who played well last year at tight end, he can absolutely make some noise and help this offense. Wonder what that means for Lazard and Valdez-Scanlon, but we'll see, to be determined. But the bottom line is, the bigger part of this story is Aaron Rodgers came back because they made him the damn GM and the owner of the Green Bay Packers.
Well, let's hear from the GM. I'm told that we now do have it ready. So Brian Gutekunst is the general manager of the Packers. Literally moments ago, he spoke for the first time since Rodgers came back. Here's what he said.
Does Aaron have more say over personnel now?
No, I think, you know, Aaron's had kind of the same input he's always had, you know, I think, which has been a lot. I mean, he's earned a place at the table, I think. He always has. I think one of the things through this offseason, I think, is learning how to incorporate that.
Throughout the offseason, the line's been that you want Aaron to be here for 2021 and beyond. I know that it's been a lot of focus on getting him here for 2021, but how committed are you guys still to having him here beyond it? What needs to happen?
Yeah, Ryan, right now we're just kind of like really focused on 2021. It's kind of a year-to-year business, as you guys know. And we'll get, you know, hopefully, you know, have a really successful season. We'll get to the other side of it and we'll figure those things out.
All right, so that's what he said. Again, that was moments ago. Jeff Saturday, what do you think?
This dude is hoping Cobbie coming back shows him he cares about relationships. He's hoping Amari Rodgers, who they picked up in the draft with Devontae Adams, Tonyan, to what Spears just said, makes this thing go. They win a Super Bowl, and they bring them all back together, baby. Let's keep them going. Keep dancing. Not like Jordan and Pippen. Let's keep this thing dancing through 2020. That's what their GM is hoping and praying for.
Look at Marcus's face. He's got the glasses down. Go ahead, Marcus, real quick.
Jeff, we know what the hell this is. I know you're trying to make the best out of this situation. You know what this is. Gutekunst can't answer no questions because he ain't the damn GM. I just told y'all.
Even coming back.
I just told y'all.
You told me he wasn't even coming back. I told you in April. I'm telling you now.
I was absolutely wrong. I was absolutely wrong about him not coming back, but I did not think they were going to make him the owner and the damn GM, Jeff. We never thought about
that.
He's
back.
Sam, give me a final word.
Yeah, final word, Greeny. Next time we show a picture or a video of the Packers GM, it needs to be a picture or a video of Aaron Rodgers.
Thank you.
You just said that to kiss up to Swagoo because he said nice things about your jacket. Anyway, this was
phenomenally
interesting morning, and obviously Rodgers is going to talk later today, so stay with ESPN for full coverage as this thing is fascinating. Guys, thank you for getting up today, as always, and thank you for getting up with us. We'll be back in Better Than Ever tomorrow. I'll be coast to coast on ESPN Radio in 60 seconds, and the conversation continues on First Take right now.